Verge, how are you today?
I'm feeling great. How are you, Tony?
What's cheeky mean? You're feeling cheeky this morning.
I don't know. Does it mean I'm a smart butt? I don't know.
Hey, is Bill Clinton going to come in and get on the stump with you?
Well, we can only hope. I'd love to see Uncle Bill. I haven't seen him. Haven't seen him in a long time, and I really don't know. If I knew, I'd be happy to make the announcement on your show. But I heard he might be in town, and at this point, I don't have con- You know, these things break late. He's in high demand all over the country.
Well, he is going to be in the state, and he's going to be on the stump with Mark Schauer and Gary Peters. So I guess it's possible you will share a stage with him. Have you ever met the former president?
I met him just on his way out when he did that farewell tour. I met him. I think it was at the, I guess it was in Detroit.
Well, let's get your take on something you and I have talked about before. I know that your staff had been working hard with the Gillespie Group on the Marketplace project, but the four council votes did not change. So right now, that deal is gone. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm not giving up. You know me, Tony. I'm not a quitter. And so it's a great project. That is the future there for the Marketplace. So much of what's going on the riverfront, Gillespie helped get that started, that side of the river. We've got the new city market in place. It's beautiful. The landscaping around it is wonderful. There's a real growth potential there. I'm not giving up on this project. So I don't think it's dead. I'm going to continue to work to try to get people together. I did work on that, even though I was in and out of town, I was on the phone with all sorts of folks, with Pat and with council people. I tried as I could. My staff was trying to broker meetings. But boy, we got people dug in on both sides. But I'm not giving up. I actually predict that we will get it done.
Wow, that's a pretty bold prediction. I'd like to be in the room when the when those negotiations are going on.
Look, I mean, the fact is, even though both sides are dug in and their positions, both sides also benefit by getting a deal. There's still more to be gained by coming together and compromising a little bit than holding out. Holding out, nobody gets anything. I mean, we all lose. The city loses. The region loses. So there's still time. It's not like there's some terrible. I mean, yes, it would have been better to have it done, but the fact is, legally, it can still be reconsidered. All the pieces that are in place can still be gotten. So where there's a will, there's a way, and this is. I think we'll get it done.
Well, interestingly enough, you have the support of labor, and you were able to work with labor to get some concessions for the city. So I would imagine those skills will help you in your efforts to get these deals done.
Yep, I sure hope so. And like I said, I've been talking. It's just been a little bit of a moving target to try to figure out who's in charge, who's running the negotiations on labor's side. So I'm hoping we can get that, get the right people in the room. Anyway, I am really optimistic about it because, as I say, there's more to be gained by coming together. If we can get, I know that there's some bruised pride on both sides, perhaps some personality issues, and we got to get beyond that and get to the economics. And the economics are, we all benefit. Each of those sides benefit. The city benefits if we move forward with the project.
Let's talk about your run for governor. I know this will be a little irritating to you, but I'm going to give you a chance to talk about it. Polls are just a sampling of what people may think. But as you know, a lot of times, especially when dealing with this crazy media, perception can be reality. Some polls say you're 20 points behind Mr. Snyder. What's your plan to get back into the race as far as the polls are concerned?
Well, the media's obsession from the beginning has been with polls and dollars. Like when I ran in the primary, it was, how much money do you have? How much money do you have? How much money do you have? Are you going to be able to raise the money, the money, the money? And I kept saying, don't worry about the money. With the message by gaining support, by getting public support, the money will come. And then we overcame that, and then it was the polls. The polls, the polls, how we overcome the polls. So my obsession is with growing jobs and fixing the economy in Michigan. And as you know, with manufacturing, I have a healthy obsession with manufacturing. I think that's a key to our future. It's 20% of the economy. It's a crucial part of the economy because of the multiplier effect. So The polls, we could talk all afternoon. We could bring in experts talking about polling technology, polling technique. I think it's flawed. I think that who are they? I question who are they talking to, because who has landlines anymore? They're only talking to people with landlines. Do you have one, Tony, at your home?
I do.
Okay, I don't. Many people don't. And so who are they talking to? A lot of people 40 and under no longer have landlines. So I think they're discounting a lot of people. I think, anyway, we could talk all afternoon about that, but it's just nonsense, because the only thing that matters, the poll that counts, is the one on election day. It opens at 7 a.m. and closes at 8 p.m. I'm going to be working for the next 13 days, as I have worked all the way through, to convince people, to make sure that people understand the differences between myself and Rick Snyder. And I encourage people to look at my opponent's so-called plan. My opponent has no real plan to grow the economy. He has an advertising campaign about a plan, but no plan. So I encourage people to look and see what we're about. As they do, we're gaining support every day, and we'll see what the poll says on November 2nd.
You've recently called for Snyder to pull down Republican ads that were very derogatory.
Yeah, that's in the AG's race. It's really unfortunate what it's devolved into. And I think as leader of his party, he should take a position. You know, I mean, I felt he should take a position and join me in calling for a moratorium on foreclosures as well, and he wouldn't do that. But perhaps this one, he will see that as leader of his party, he needs to take a position and try to clean up what's going on the Republican side of that race, in the AG's race, where there's anti-Semitism and all sorts of nonsense going on.
Mayor, what happened with this business tax? Apparently, over the last multitude of years, the business climate has changed because of the rules and regulations. How did it get that way, and what do you plan to do to change that to make this a more business-friendly state?
Well, Tony, as we've talked about many times, we've got to make Michigan the number one place in the country to do business, because that means jobs. We've talked about it in generic terms and in specific terms. We need to lay out the red carpet instead of the red tape. We need to change both the perception and the reality of Michigan. The perception of Michigan right now, I think, is far worse than the reality of Michigan. The reality, you know, isn't peaches and cream here in Michigan, but it's not as bad as the perception out there in the country and in the world. And so we need a bold statement, a bold program to turn things around. I think Make It in Michigan for free is crucial, because that will attract manufacturing, which is the top of the food chain of the economy. From manufacturing, you get a lot of spin-off, a lot of reverberating effects in the economy with the supply chain and everything. In fact, you know, the surveys, studies show that manufacturing jobs create another five, depending on what you're manufacturing, it's another 5 to 7 jobs created for every one manufacturing job. So we have to free up access to capital. I have a plan for that. But also the MBT surcharge, the MBT reform, Michigan business tax, and the MBT surcharge was authored. One of the authors was Brian Calley, who's the lieutenant governor candidate on the Republican ticket. It needs to be repealed, and we need reform. We need a predictable, fair tax system for businesses. My opponent's plan, his 6% plan, I said from the beginning, would triple the tax for some business people. And Bill Nowling, my opponent's spokesman, said, "Oh no, absolutely not. That we'd mischaracterized it." But now, in an interview with Crane's business magazine, Snyder essentially admitted that yes, oops, his change would in fact increase taxes drastically on a certain section of small businesses. Apparently, from what we can figure out, about 3,000 small businesses would have their taxes tripled. I'll never do that. I'm not going to raise taxes on small businesses. That's where we need the growth. That's where we get the growth in the economy, and we need to be fostering and nurturing our small businesses, which is exactly what I've done as mayor of Lansing, and that's why the Milken Institute reported 3 days ago or so that Lansing is the fastest growing region economically in the state. What we're doing in Lansing is working. It's paying off. That's why we have the second lowest unemployment in the state, and I think you're going to see even more improvements in the near future.
And then finally, Mayor, you on your website talk about you need to rebuild Michigan's failing infrastructure and fix the roads. Where are you going to get the money to do that?
Well, Tony, that's a question of priorities. You know, we've been making improvements in the city of Lansing, and we've done it despite the naysayers. We've cut $42 million in deficit, and we have not raised taxes. You know, every year I had council people that wanted to raise taxes. We balanced every budget on time. We have a AA-plus credit rating, and we're still funding the priorities of city government. In fact, you know, I have more police on the streets today than when I first took office. I haven't lost a single firefighter. Now, there was plenty of sacrifice to go around. You know, we've we've cut the size of the city bureaucracy by 20%. You know, we had to get concessions from our unions in terms of pay and vacation time and that sort of thing. I cut my pay. I doubled what I pay for health insurance. I gave up the city car. There's going to be plenty of sacrifice to go around, but it's a question of funding the priority state government. I don't believe we can simply go to the taxpayers and ask them to pay more so that we can keep doing the same thing in the same way. We've got to shake up government, and we've got to fundamentally change how we deliver services and get more bang for the buck, exactly how we have in the city of Lansing.
Well, I could see how you could be in a euphoric state after you win the election, and then as soon as you sit in the chair, you've got a $1.6 billion budget deficit to deal with.
Well, that's what we call breakfast. You know, I had the same thing when I became, you know, on a smaller scale. It happened to me. The thing is, it won't be brand new to me, Tony, because I've been in the legislature. I've been a county commissioner. I've been mayor for 5 years. I've governed in tough times. This is a big key difference between myself and my opponent. You know, when times got tough in Lansing, with all due respect, when times got tough in Lansing, I led by example. You know, I made sacrifices myself. I asked for sacrifice from the workers, but we were all in the same boat. When things got tough at Gateway, what did Rick Snyder sacrifice? I don't see where he sacrificed a darn thing. He became a multimillionaire. As that company went through its machinations, went through its downsizing, and eventually became a Chinese company, was sold off to the Chinese, Rick Snyder became a multimillionaire. Him and his friends, his folks at the top in the corporate boardroom, they exercised their stock options. That's a fact. They exercised their stock options, and the workers exercised their option to get in the unemployment line. I know what it is to govern in tough times. And I believe I'm the one that's qualified to make the changes necessary to lead the reform, because I know government. I get government. But I also am on the side of working people.
Mayor, thanks so much. We'll talk with you next week.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Tony.